Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
On a September 1983, someone is sitting in a bunker watching the radar screen, and his name is Stanislav Petrov, a Soviet officer, military officer, checking the radar. And then suddenly there's a big beep and red alert in the room saying like there are missile coming. The U.S. has launched a missile. Later on, it says not just one, but five missiles. The protocol was he has to inform the defense minister that missile is coming so that they have to retaliate and launch missiles. But of course, as you can know, this will end up in nuclear war between U.S. and Union Soviet. With his guts and his experience, his gut feeling says, this is not right. I think this is just a glitch in the system because it's not supposed to be like this. Guess what? Stanislav, that's his name, Stanislav Petrov. He said, do I sound it right? Do I sound like speaking Russian? Stanislav Petrov. He said, I'm not going to report it. And he didn't report it. Later on, the government found out and he was in trouble. But years after that, the whole world actually thanked him because of his decision not to report it and go with his gut feeling saying that that's just a glitch in the system. Thanks to him, now we still have the beautiful earth that we have. The miscommunication between a system and a person can result in a disaster. Miscommunication between another person and one person can also result in disaster. Today, we're going to talk about how we can avoid miscommunication. My name is Michael, and it's a privilege and honor for me to be part of this team at The Rocks Church as one of the pastors. And today, I'm so excited to talk about this matter. I said this, you heard that we take from a resource by Caitlin Edelman, who wrote this book, I Said This, You Said That, where we're going to talk about something that is very relevant for every single one of you, including myself. I'm still learning, and I hope that you are still learning as well to become a better communicator, not just public communication, but it's everyday's life in workplace, at home, in marriage, in parenting, and also in friendship. I will give you a resource at the end of this gathering, a website that where you can study more. You can talk about it more with your family, with your friends, with your small group. And I want you to use this week to learn about this so that we can become a better communicator. Jesus has called us to follow him. At this church, we believe when we follow Jesus, not just believe in Jesus, but we follow Jesus, become his disciple, to become his apprentice, to become his student. He will make our lives better. And he will make us better at life. But to be better at life, that requires us to relearn, to reprogram our thinking, our mindset. And this is one of that tool where God is going to use to help you to become a better follower of Jesus, to become a better dad, to become a better mom, to become a better son, daughter, friend, father-in-law. I believe the best person that you can be is the person who has self-awareness. I can be the best dad that I can be if I am self-aware of my limitations, my strength, my weaknesses, my tendencies. You will become a better friend, become a better daughter and son if you have self-awareness. Bosses, managers, the best bosses and managers are not the ones who owns big companies, but great bosses are those who have self-awareness. Communication is two ways, two things that happens. What you say maybe can be information about your thoughts, your mindset, your opinion, what you know, your knowledge, but also it also depends on how people hear from us. When we communicate, we're doing two things. Sometimes communication can go wrong. This often happens when the person listening doesn't fully understand what the person talking is trying to say. It's not just about not hearing the words correctly or not saying it with the right grammar or the right vocabs. No, but it's also about not catching the full meaning behind those words. So today, we're going to learn together how to make sure that when we talk, people really understand what we mean. Communication is not just about what's said, it's also about what's heard. I came across this fascinating statistic. It says that 90% of problems in the workplace come down to miscommunication. People quit their job simply because of miscommunication or misexpectation. And guess what? The same goes for marriages. 90% of issues stems from misunderstandings and miscommunications. When we look at troubles in our families, in relationships between parents and kids, siblings, or in-laws, or friendship, so many of them are because of miscommunication. That tough relationship that you're going through right now, maybe it roots in miscommunication. It's not a small issue, it's a huge issue. Because of miscommunications, it has led to wars, caused business to fall, torn family apart, and ended marriages. This is not new news to us, right? We've seen it, we felt it, and we lived it. Miscommunication has caused all kinds of problems in the world. So today we're going to learn from Apostle Paul. Today I want you to memorize this verse and talk about it again and again with your friend, your spouse, your kids, your family. And I hope this verse will become our memory verse of the week. Apostle Paul give a statement or give advice to Jesus followers, especially. Jesus followers, I want you to become a better dad, mom, son, daughter by doing these things. Ephesians 4 verse 29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. When we think about unwholesome talk, when I was a kid, if someone asked me, "What is that all about?" I thought it's all about not saying dirty words, not saying cuss words, not saying anything vulgar or any kind of coarse joking. But it's way more than that. It's way deeper than that. Unwholesome words, in the very sense of the definitions, any word that doesn't lead to someone becoming more whole. It's unwholesome. It breaks them down. It tears them down. The verse continues, "Do not let any unwholesome talk comes out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Catch this. Our communication, it is meant to benefit the other person. Paul is saying that any communication that you are giving to someone else, verbal or non-verbal, if it doesn't build the other person up according to their needs, then it's not going to benefit them, and it will eventually become an unwholesome word that will destroy. Many times when we are in the thick of the emotion, we just want to say things, what's in our mind, what's in our hearts, and just say it, no matter how people will hear it, as long as we feel like, oh, relief. But if it's not beneficial for that other person, it's going to tear them down. We must learn, I must learn, to communicate in their language if we are going to lead others well. If you're going to become a better manager, better leader, supervisor, you need to be able to communicate in your team's language. If you want to become a better mom and dad, you need to speak in your kids' language. If you want to become a better son or daughter, you need to speak in your parents' language instead of forcing your language, your temperament to them. We must learn to communicate in their language if we want to love others well. I think we can apply this in many areas of our lives, whether it's a relationship, dating, workplace. But if we are going to love others the way God commanded to us, to love others, you love your neighbors as yourself, we cannot do that if we don't speak in their language. So, my first question for you today is, why do some words land differently for different people? When I say, you can do it, for some people say, yeah, thank you, I will do it. But for some people, no, how can I do it? Show me how to do it. For some people said, I'm not sure whether I can do it. Can you be with me? I need you to be with me so I can do it. See, same words, but it means differently for different people. Why? The words are so powerful. But the real answer to this, why it's different, is temperaments. Everybody say temperaments. So as we dive into temperaments, this is the resource that I mentioned to you about. I said this, you heard that from Kathleen Edelman. She said that personality and temperaments are two different things. A lot of people think that personality and temperaments are the same thing, but it's not. Personality is a snapshot of behavior or feelings or emotions in a certain time. So it's the what, your behavior, what you say, your emotion. But temperament is the why behind those words, behind those behavior. It's the why behind the feeling and the why behind the emotion and behavior of that person. So that's the main difference between personality and temperament. One of the simple ways to explain this is through this quadrant right here. Yellow, red, green, and blue. Sanguine, yellow, red choleric, green phlegmatic, and then blue melancholic. And maybe you are familiar with this, because this has been around for thousands of years. A philosopher, his name is Hippocrates, a Greek. Hippocrates studied how people naturally responded to different things in life, and they continually fell into these four categories. It's the body fluid in their body, they said. But this can be mouthful. Sanguine, what is sanguine? Penguin or, you know, choleric, phlegmatic. Try to explain phlegmatic to a four-year-old. And I was like, Daddy, do you know what phlegmatic is, Levi? Phlegmatic, is it the, you know? Oh, that's not phlegmatic, that's phlegm. You know, so to make it simple, I'm going to remove these words and just relate to you in colors. Yellow, red, green, and blue. The top two, yellow and red, they are extroverts, people. Extroverts means, in communication, that means your thoughts and your emotions go outwards. These are the people where usually they have less filter or no filter. They just bleh the information out, right? So they talk before they think, and because they know they go like, and say something, and they start going, oh, maybe I should have said that. Sorry, I didn't mean that. You know, or maybe in a meeting, you say things that you don't believe simply because you are processing outwards. Processing your minds, your ideas outwards. And as you can guess, the bottom two, green and blue, are the introverts. These are the processors. These people think before they say things, which means their thoughts and emotions go inwards. I think a lot of times we think extroverts like all those people who like to be around other people. And the introverts are the people who don't like to be around other people. Extroverts are the ones who get energized when they're around people. And introverts are those who like to stay in their house, on the bathtub, having me time with some candle and some nice music. Those are the introverts. But I beg to differ, because extroverts and introverts is not about the energy that you get, but it's about how you process your thoughts and emotions. So that leads us to the next part, which is the next category. The yellow and green are the people-oriented temperaments. So while the other one, red and blue, are the task-oriented temperaments. These people prefer a task over people, the left ones, where the yellow and green prefers people over task. So this is why it's really important for us to understand the difference between extrovert, introvert, people, task, because the phlegmatic, the green people, the green phlegmatic is introvert that likes to be around people, but not new people, but someone that they are comfortable with, you know, a family member, best friends. They love to be around these people, and they feel loyal and faithful to these people, and they feel comfortable and secure around these people. So just because they're introverts, it doesn't mean they don't like to be around people, and vice versa. The extroverts, choleric, the red ones, they're task-oriented. They prefer tasks over people, but they are around people, but maybe in their minds, people are their task. You know, I need to be able to manage these guys, or I need to work these guys up, or that. But that's the understanding of it. Today, I want to give you three simple keys to take away that can help you and I to choose words that we decide to use so that it will benefit the people who listen to us. The first one is your temperament determines the words you speak. So again, in the guidance of Ephesians 4, verse 29, we want to know what our words are. It has to be it has to be beneficial for the people that we are talking to. So the yellow speak language of fun and people. The red speak power and control. Green speaks calm and harmony. Blue speaks perfection and order. So these are languages, the core motivators that are put out and determine the words that you're going to use. Another way for you to understand what temperament is, imagine it's your mother tongue. Is your natural language that you grew up with. The natural language that I grew up with is Bahasa Indonesia. When I went to Australia in 2000, when I was 18, I need to learn a new language. I didn't know much English. Like I mentioned to you, I thought a lot of people knew my name because they call me Mike. Like, hey, how's it going, Mike? You know my name? It's mate. Oh. So I need to relearn a new language. My tendency is to dream and to speak in Bahasa Indonesia. But now, after years of living in Australia, I get used to learn and speak English, even though I still can speak my mother tongue. That's what temperament is. It's your natural tendency. Your natural tendency, but also means that you need to become a better person, you need to adjust to other people's language. I cannot force you to understand my Indonesian language, but I can speak to you in English because I want to learn to communicate to you. So that's what temperament is all about. And yellow, the yellow sanguine, often speak with animated, fun, people-oriented words. You know, the yellow, usually when they come in, they're not just walk slowly. They will just, how you doing, everybody? It's gonna be awesome. I hope you're great. Are you having a great day? Everything is awesome. You know, that's yellow people. And that sounds awesome. Who's gonna be there? You know, like the people kind of like conversations. The red, the words like, I'll do it, or hurry up, hurry up. That's red. Or let's go now. Or if they work in IT and someone said, oh, can you please check my computer? something wrong with my computer, the red will say, move, let me do it. That's the red. And the blue. Blue, usually this is like the deep person. They like calm, they like solitude, and they sound more like, you want to take a stab at it? No pressure. You want to try? Is everything going to be safe when you go there? Or are you sure you can trust these people? Usually they are more careful, they are more diligent, and more requires some time to gain their trust. The green usually say, no big deal, no worries, everything's fine. It's okay with me, whatever you want. When you ask them, like, what do you want to, where should we go for dinner? It's okay, you can decide whatever you want. Okay, let's go and eat some Korean barbecue. Actually, let's not go there. Those are the green people. I think about two people who always do that. Usually they are green. But let me tell you this, that not only you need to learn to hear the language that they use based on the temperaments, but also you need to understand the needs of these temperaments. Usually people with different temperaments crave for different things. The yellow crave for approval, acceptance, attention, and affection. The reds usually are craving for loyalty, sense of control, sense of appreciation, credit for work. Green, they crave for harmony, worthiness, lack of stress, and respect. While the blue, safety, sensitivity, support, space, and silence. This chart shows what separate temperament from personality. Every word or behavior is motivated through these core needs. My major temperament is blue. So I like to take things slow. I like to be detailed. I like to be precise. Tend to be perfectionist. But my secondary temperament is red. So I'm more towards the task-oriented rather than people-oriented. But throughout my ministry life, I learned to be people-oriented as well. But that's not my natural tendency. My natural tendency is more towards the task orientation. So that's why as we grow in our journey, becoming an adult, become a better person, we need to be aware of what is our natural tendency and what are the things that I need to learn. Because every temperament has its own strength and has its own weakness. My wife is a red wife. She likes to do things quick. Let's do it. Can you please take out the trash? Okay, I'll do it. Now! Okay. No, she doesn't say it like that. But usually if she goes back from a dinner with her mates or her girlfriends, usually she would like to just go to our room, take shower, and get ready to go to sleep. And then if I ask her, like, how's the dinner? It was good. Thank you. Good night. But me as a blue, I would like to say, so where did you go? What did you order? And who else were there? I'd like to know, what did you guys talk about? By the way, how much was it? By the way, did you have the receipt? That's me, blue. And for her, it can be so frustrating because, oh, you're asking too much questions. Because a red just want to go straight to the point. But as we grow as husband and wife, we need to learn to speak in each other's language. My son just went through a gate test last week. And my son Judah is a blue like me. And blue is craving for sensitivity, support, and safety. Instead of saying this before the exam, you can do it, Judah, come on, you can do it. That's if my son is red, I would say that. But because he's blue, I would like to make sure that he's being understood. Judah, I know it feels like you're nervous. I know, but that's normal. It's normal, but you've done your best. You've studied, you've practiced, you've done the computer practice and all that. You will be fine. I know. Just do your best. Thank you, Daddy. Blue will appreciate when they felt being understood, when they're feeling being supported. You need to be able to learn in their language. Maybe that's easier for me because I'm also blue. I want to be understood and feel safe and supported. Number two, the three keys of the words we choose is your temperament determines the words you need to hear. The words you give to other people is your choice. It's a choice. It's not an accident. I ask people to initiate a pause before you respond or react. Just pause. Pastor D mentioned 6 seconds. 6 seconds can make a lot of difference whether you're going to have a fight or you're going to have a good dinner or dinner at all. I ask people to initiate a pause, give grace. When someone is on, like, not healthy emotionally at that moment, maybe she or your husband is angry, too tired, and they say things that is hurtful, before you fight back and retaliate, why don't you give grace? Maybe he's tired right now. I want to give grace, and I want to give what they need. If your husband is a red, appreciate him. Thank you for, you know, working so hard for our family. I really appreciate you. From someone who's like really like angry, suddenly, all right, what do you want? So you need to speak in their language. And let me tell you, there's no temperament better than any other. All temperaments are the same. There's no one better than the other because really we are here to celebrate each other's strength. And once again, your strength are my weaknesses. My weaknesses are your strength and vice versa. And we just want to master our own and be our own best authentic self so that we can give because you cannot give what you don't have. So the more aware of your, if you are more aware of your temperament, you can give what you have. So here's what you want to put in your self-talk. Realize what you're saying to yourself. How are you building yourself up according to your own needs? Remind yourself that I'm accepted. I'm the son of a living God, and I'm loved and forgiven. I want us to read this verse one more time out loud, and I want us to say it 2 times so that we will remember it, memorize it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that is, may benefit those who listen. One more time. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I highlight the word let, because every word that you say is actually your choice. Do not let. Don't say, it's my temperament. This is who I am. I'm just not patient. You have to understand me. You've been married to me for many years. How come you still don't understand me? What you say is your choice. Do not let any unwholesome talk. Our tongue lays power of life and death. If your son is very active, going around, doesn't listen to you, instead of saying, you naughty boy, stop it, stop it, stop, stop, naughty, naughty, naughty. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out because your tongue controls life or curse. Don't be surprised one day he's going to be naughty. Don't be surprised if you're stubborn, just like your dad. You talk too much like your mom. You know, instead of letting those unwholesome talk, you take a pause, give grace, and celebrate his temperament or her temperament. Every word you use is the word you choose. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Are you speaking wholesome words today? Are you speaking wholesome words to yourself? Are you speaking wholesome words to people around you, people in your workplace? Just stop right there for a minute. Initiate that pause. And never use your temperament as an excuse or as a weapon. Never use our temperament as, hey, that's just who I am. Just get used to it. I'm not a quick mover. So why don't you do it? We don't do that. In relationship, in any relationship, it's just not a helpful place to be if you use your temperament as your excuse or as a weapon. If you want to follow what Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, we need to learn together. And this learning process will not end until we die. We need to learn to speak wholesome words that will make that person become whole. I've got to use that words that my neighbor needs. If you want to know more about this, I encourage you to go home and go to therocks.church/temperament, and you can read all the resources and also watch 6 sessions of videos. It's going to be amazing videos that you can watch together with your kids, with your mates at work, in your team building, and make this as a language. Oh, you're a red, so I need to understand the way to speak to you as a red. Oh, you are a blue, I'm also a blue, so I can understand what you're going through. On your seat, there's a handout. In that handout has some helpful information about 4 different temperaments. In fact, my whole family, my 3 sons and my wife, were the one who prepared all that. All 800 of them. And let me tell you, my yellow son, Levi, said, yeah, we can do it together as a family. This is good. But when he's tired, can I go to sleep? The blue, Judah, was like, Daddy, can I get money for this? All right, I'll give you $10 if you do all the stickers, 800 of them. 15. Done. And the red ones, he comes with, come on guys, we can do this. You do this one, you do the folding, you do the sticker and all that. Oh, he's the one who organized the work. And my wife is also the same. She's a red, so she just worked really fast. And I was the one who planned all that in details. So that's the wonderful things about our strengths and weaknesses. So what I want you to do right now, and I want everybody to join me, okay? You can see in the middle there, there's a sticker. That sticker is not for anything else other than actually to recognize what is your temperament. It'll be good just to choose one, but if you have to choose 2, make sure, let's say for me, myself, I am a blue. Okay, but I'm also a red. That's why I'm wearing red. I don't have any blue shirt. So, and then just wear it like that, and then like that. So I'm a blue with a little bit of red in me. And then it'll be interesting for us after the gathering to see everyone with different colors. And also at home, don't take it off. At home, talk about this with your family. Talk about it with husband and wife. Help me to understand how I can be beneficial to you. And it'll be awesome if you can go to therocks.church/temperament to study more with your small group this week or with your family. Church, let us become better fathers. Let us become better moms, better sons and daughters, because after all, we are Jesus followers and He commands us to love God and love others the way we love ourselves. Do you receive that? Okay, so now I want to see everyone putting down the sticker on your chest. I know yellows, I know you want to put it on your forehead, but please don't put it on your forehead. I know greens, you want to put it in your pocket, but please don't put it in your pocket. Please put it on your chest. I would like to see everyone with different colors after the gathering. Thank you for being here today. Why don't we just ask for God's wisdom and God's help and self-control so that we can become a better communicator for other people in our lives. Why don't we just pray right now? In fact, I'd like to invite all of us to stand. Invite all of us to stand. And you are more than welcome to take more from the chair next to you. If you want to talk about it with your friend or talk about it with your kid at home, this is for you to take home. Don't leave it here. But when we just ask God, God, as you have been so good to us, Lord, we want to be good for people around us too. We want to be pleasant people. Doesn't matter what our temperaments are. A choleric can be a nice choleric. A red person can be a really loving red person. Just because they're bossy, still, they still can be loving. A blue person can give grace and be patient with other people who are not blue because they want to learn to become more like Jesus. I want to encourage you to become more like Jesus. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope that this will enable you to understand, yeah, these Jesus followers, they are still learning too. That's why sometimes they can be annoying. But let me tell you, Jesus wants to make your life better and make you better at life. Because He loves you, He understands, and He speaks your language.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.